Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. Today I have with me Kevin Burke, who we're already chatting offline a little bit. Beautiful soul brother. I love his energy. And what I loved about when you reached out to me is, I'm going to do the bio first. Because I'm like, okay. So one of the things that I love is how you solve the happiness problem and the difference between obstacle and problem, but we'll get into that later. And you're the headmaster of the Real Astrology Academy and the creator of the Human Game and Human Game Experience. And then there's this catchphrase that you said that just really crappy. The universe is made up of stories. And yeah, that's my like Achilles heel is stories. So I want to ask you first, before we dive into all of that, Tell me a little about your journey. Like, how did you come into doing astrology and that journey of like remembering who you are into where you are now as succinctly as you can?
Yeah, gonna have to give you the Cliff Notes version of of that. Astrology always seemed to promise answers. Astrology always made great big promises and never really quite delivered on them. I started a business as an astrologer in 1992, running astrology charts and reports, but I didn't know anything about astrology. And then I started studying astrology formally in 95. Went through a certification process with, started counseling in 1998, started teaching in 2000, wrote a bunch of books, and realized, I don't know, about 2 years ago now, that for 30 years I've been misidentifying as an astrologer. Because I thought I was an astrologer. My pronouns were Scorpio, Cancer, Gemini. I was diving into astrology and applying critical thinking to it and taking it places I'd never seen anybody else taking it to. Because part of my issue was that people study astrology for 30 years and they can't interpret a natal chart, and nothing takes 30 years to learn. So there was something going on with how it was being taught, or there was something essential about, you know, where's the system, because this shouldn't be that complicated. And so that was largely my journey for quite some time.
Okay.
And I never really fit in as an astrologer, because I was always asking questions that were getting the other astrologers just didn't understand how I was asking them. Nobody really seemed to get it, but I never really fit in anywhere, so that didn't strike me as anything unusual. And I had been, you know, alongside the astrology journey, was also on my own spiritual path. I started studying the work of David Hawkins and the Map of Human Consciousness, and dove very deeply into that and looking for ways of integrating consciousness with astrology and how all of this fits together, because all of it seemed like it should.
And yeah.
I could never quite crack the code. I would get close and I would build a whole curriculum around an approach and then realize, oh, this doesn't actually do what I thought it was going to do. And that happened multiple times. And about 3 years ago, I was having another one of those experiences where I'm in the middle of a training program realizing, yeah, this is not going to do what I thought it was going to do. And my students, it was an advanced program, and my students were used to that. So they were gonna, they're like, cool, whatever you want to work on, we'll work on that. It's like, great. And that's when I started coming up with what became the human game. And much of it was finally discovering a way to make astrology dynamic and active and something that I could actually use, because so much of the approach, and it took decades to figure this out, because again, nobody was looking, nobody was asking these questions. But the way that we approach astrology, modern astrology, is primarily a system of personality typing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the fundamental approach is descriptive. You're kind of having an astrological portrait painted. And that's a lovely, it's wonderful sitting in front of somebody having them tell you how pretty you are for 90 minutes. And at the end of that, you have a portrait. And you hang it on the wall and you look at it from time to time, and maybe it reflects something interesting back to you, but you can't do anything with it. It's descriptive, it's not active. It's adjectives, not adverbs. And I kept on looking for, because to me, it's like there's this should live. I could see the potential of astrology coming to life, and I could never quite get it there. And then I started coming up with what became the human game, and literally approaching the astrology as kind of a role-playing game. It's a little bit of a Dungeons and Dragons
Oh,
kind of
cool.
thing, where you're actively building these attributes. And it didn't start out there. I started with just really excited with things I could do with just the modalities. I mean, something I'd never spent any time on. And it was a tiny little thing, not even the signs, just one of the three modalities. And how about, and but that's an adverb. And that tells you how you approach something. And then there's strategies with that. And I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is amazing. I can use this. So I started developing that, and I didn't know what it was. I put together, it was a coaching program, kind of, sort of. I wasn't entirely sure. And I thought, oh, well, this is a way of, goal setting and dealing with motivation. And I'm trying to figure out what it is. And literally, it was a year and a half before I realized it's a philosophy. And I'm a philosopher. And I've always been a philosopher, because I don't care about astrology. I've never, astrologers care about astrology for astrology's sake. I don't care about astrology for its own sake. I care about astrology because of the answers that I think it can provide.
So it's more of a tool
It's
than the end all.
absolutely a tool, but it took, almost 30 years for me to break out of that bubble and be able to see, oh, wait a minute, this is, I need to look at this. I need to see the whole thing, see the whole elephants, instead of just experiencing, blind men and the elephant, view. I need to figure out what it is. And it took 30 years
Oh, yeah.
sort of not realizing that I was in a bubble, and then breaking out of one bubble and the next, and beginning to sort of realize, oh, wait, this is a much bigger picture. So I finally realized I was a philosopher, and this is a philosophy. And I was incorporating, the human game philosophy is based on the idea that the universe is made up of stories. Now, that's an incredible thing. I did not come up with that idea. I actually, full disclosure, I'm sure that thing came into my awareness as a Facebook meme. It is, in fact, a line from a 1968 poem called The Speed of Darkness. I think that's the title of the poem by Muriel Rukeyser, and I never remember how to pronounce her name correctly, but that's where that idea came from. I came across it in a Facebook meme, and that just knit together all of these different things that I've always been interested in. I've always loved the idea of story. I love, it was always never really an active Dungeons and Dragons player, but loved the idea of that. Loved the idea of how stories work and the patterns of it. A lot of my favorite authors really explored kind of the idea of story as its own thing. So all of this was stuff that was kind of in my consciousness, and then it kind of comes together and it's like, oh, well, the universe is made up of stories. And so then I apply some critical thinking to it. I'm like, okay, what the heck does that mean? What exact, how does this has got some potential. How do we do something with this? And so I started really exploring, okay, how does story work? What's the structure of stories? Because if everything is story, when you understand how story works, you can understand anything. And I built the human game out of that. I was doing a bunch, because I was doing a bunch of research into stories. I mean, the idea is, well, I'm the character. I'm, you are not you are an eternal multidimensional being. You're currently having a human experience. So your life is a story. You are the main character of the story of your life. The character you play is the person pictured on your driver's license. So in this lifetime, I'm playing the part of Kevin B. Burke. That's not who I am. That's just, and there is an actor inhabiting this character. Because the eternal truth of whoever I am, I don't really have full connection to that, but I know I'm playing this role. And as I'm exploring, okay, what is this? How does this? I'm doing a lot of research into narrative tools and storytelling. I'd studied it in high school and a little bit in college, but it's like I wanted to get a framework. I wanted to get more of a. And I came across, I'm forgetting her name. So this woman has written a series of books on, for screenwriters and novelists, about storytelling. And she wrote a book on character arcs. And I said, so great, this is interesting. So I downloaded the book to my Kindle, and I read that book in a way that no one has ever experienced it before. Because she's writing it in terms of, oh, as an author, here's how you structure a character arc. And I'm reading it as, oh, I'm a character and this is how life works. And just it was a profound, bizarrely, profoundly spiritual experience. Reading this book was like, oh my God, this is the structure. This is how the story of my life works. And now I understand if this is how the character arc works, and here's how kind of these levels of story sort of. So that was really instrumental in figuring out how story works and how the character arc goes, and realizing, oh, I can now I've kind of got the rules, and I can mess with my story a little bit from within, because I know how my character arc needs to go, and I can navigate this better because, I've got the manual now. I'm having so much fun with this, and people are giving me blank looks because I still It took so long because being able to translate this into something that other people could even begin to understand, let alone actually experience, has been a process.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure because like
It has been a long, difficult process getting here.
I can see the trajectory. I can feel it because I'm into it. You know, I get that. I'm a puzzle solver and I haven't fit in, so I'm like trying to figure my way on this journey. So like when you have the aha moment, I'll give a really brief example. When I was writing my dissertation, I kept getting, you need a title. And I'm like, I don't know what title. And I mean, it took me about 6 months. And finally, I mean, I wasn't super intuitive then, but finally I was so frustrated. I like gave up and I'm like, okay, fine. I'm just going to ask the universe. The next morning I came up with a title because it wasn't me. Like I got out of my way. And then it came through and I was like, oh my goodness, now I see the whole picture. This is why I'm like studying this whole thing, because I was like literally trying to figure out how I looked at a radio station in the 1930s and 40s in central Maine to figure out how programming both reflected and influenced the population. And then I had to go to who owned radios in 1930, if it was rural or urban, because if you had a battery operated radio, you wouldn't listen as much because batteries were expensive. It's like this whole like sideline to get to the, oh, we broadcast, what was it? I think it was called, we broadcast what they, well, we played what they wanted to hear. And that was from the program director, because I could not like, and I'm looking all around it, looking all around it. I'm like, but I see this and I can't articulate it. And I know this is what's happening. And then boom. So I get that crazy roundabout. Yeah, it's a thing.
But just, an actual thing in the human game, when you're playing the human game, when you're understanding that you're dealing with stories, choosing the title of the story makes a big difference. One of my early experiences with this, that it's like I was playing it, I knew what I was doing, I was having a lot of fun with this. I couldn't explain. It took me years to be able to explain, okay, this is what was going on. But so I mean, I did all this on the fly. I was in a car crash, wasn't hurt, but my car was severely damaged, and this was early November, and I was going to be hosting a Thanksgiving dinner in 3 weeks and needed a car to be able to go pick up the food. And this was, in the story trade, this was called an inciting incident, that all of a sudden, boom, I got to deal with this. And I've been through this kind of thing before, but I was immediately stressing out, trying to manage everything, very attached to my car. It's like, no, we got to get this towed to a shop. We got to get this fixed right now because I, can't afford a rental car, and we've got that, all that. And I went through that for about a day, and then I realized, okay, no, let me take charge of this story. Let me figure out what's going on here, because currently, title of this story is how Kevin dealt with not having a car. And I looked at some other possibilities. I didn't think I could afford to get a replacement car. And then I'm realizing, well, okay, now I can, I could, this was during COVID, and it's like there weren't any rental cars. She's like, well, I could do from CarMax. And if my mom co-signs, I could actually get a loan on this. And I'm realizing, not only, this is it possible for me to get a better car? It's like, well, yeah, because in my entire history of driving, I've never once voluntarily gone out and purchased a new car. I have always gotten a new car because my current vehicle was either totaled or suffered a catastrophic mechanical failure such that I literally could not drive it back off of the lot where I was looking at another car.
Wow.
So this is always the story of how Kevin gets spun up by a car. So the minute I changed the title of the story to "This is the story of how Kevin gets an upgraded car," totally different experience. And from there, I started exploring all of these other levels of story and what can I do with this and how can I resolve all of these internal old stories of attachments to cars and transportation. I'm resolving all of these old stories and things and just having a ridiculous amount of fun with a process that otherwise and traditionally and in the past had been miserable and stressful every other time I've been through it. But that started literally by deciding, "I don't know, I'm changing the title of this story.
Yeah, and to have
This
that
is the title of my book."
awareness,
Yeah.
like, oh, I'm in the middle of a traumatic response based on past experiences. Wait a minute. I don't have to have that again. That's brilliant.
I can decide how I'm going to surf this. Now that's really advanced. That's really advanced application
Oh yeah. But I get it because
of
like I can feel things. Like my journey has been a lot of somatic healing, and I had one this morning. I had to get up at 1 o'clock for a call in Australia, and so I went to bed at 9:30. I did not sleep because I was so anxious about the call, and I felt that anxiety when I've flown from Washington to Connecticut before. I had the awareness this time. And it was like, oh, okay, finally I'm cognizant enough to be able to see you because I felt you many, many times before, but now I see you. And of course I didn't sleep for the rest of the night after the call because then I was wide awake at 1 o'clock in the morning and it just couldn't calm myself down. But like that shift, and for me, I was feeling, okay, if this like, because I dive into past lifetimes, I pass in. So I'm like, okay, this doesn't feel like it's this lifetime. This feels like it's ancient. But I'm really grateful it's here because now I have the awareness to know that I have this irrational, like, gonna die if I don't get up in the morning kind of level of fear that I know isn't coming from this lifetime. And so, like, to be able to, like, have, it's not the same thing, but having that shift of like, oh, this is something I couldn't see before.
Well, and this is a big part of kind of the tool set of the human game is being able to, stories are how we match patterns. It's how we recognize patterns. And when you can recognize a pattern and go, "Oh, this is, I've now identified this particular story." And then you can go, "Okay, well, that doesn't actually apply right now. I don't need that particular, I can look at this and go, yeah, well, this isn't that. I'm not actually in that situation. This isn't, that's a relevant response, but not under these conditions. So I can just, this isn't that," and set it aside. And just being able, a lot, being able to realize, "Oh, I'm assuming, I'm matching up past experiences and assuming that this situation I'm in is the same as these other situations." And it's like, "Oh, wait, it's not. Here's, I don't need to change that programming, but that's just not relevant right now." And that's a reasonably easy thing to be able to do. But you need, but you've got to identify the story. You got to be able to define, okay, what's this story that I'm experiencing? What is this? And like, "Oh, yeah, this was a past life thing." Well, that's definitely not relevant to me now. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. That does not anything that's going on in my life right now.
It was so fascinating because it was like, and I could feel myself like just at this cusp of falling asleep, and then the alarm went off. I was like, But to have that awareness, it's so important to have that awareness because, like, when we see that subconscious thing coming up, that's the gift for us
Yes.
to shift.
Yes. So speaking of subconscious, let me
Oh,
share
yeah.
one of the really important frameworks. Everything is story. But the reality that you experience, and reality is just whatever you experience. Reality is nothing special. Whatever you experience is real. But the reality that you experience is what I call the composite story. So it's like the signal you see on a TV or a monitor, that's a composite image. And it's made up of three channels. There's the red channel, the green channel, and the blue channel. And and if you want to edit an image in Photoshop, you're not editing the composite image, you're making changes to the individual channels. And then that affects the main image that you. So you do not have any creative control over the composite image. If you want to make any changes to your story, you want to make any changes to your reality, you first need to break that up and look at the component levels of story. So every story operates on three separate levels. There's the plot level story, the character level story, and the theme level story. The plot level story is the external sequence of events. It's what happened. It's what you perceive. It is what we think of as the objective external reality. You have virtually no creative control over the plot level story. You did not create the world that you live in. You did not create the conditions that you are experiencing. No matter how much you try, you can't control everything. And let's face it, some of the time you can't control anything. The character level story is your internal experience. And that's really all you know as reality. We perceive this idea of duality, and the great big duality is that there is everything that exists inside you, which is basically your sense of identity and how you feel. And then literally everything else appears to exist outside of you in the outside world. All we know, all we care about is how we feel. All of our motivation is about avoiding pain, pursuing pleasure, ideally feeling good, but at any given moment, we're just looking to feel a little bit better than we felt before. We engage with the outside world because we think somehow conditions in the outside world create feelings inside of us. And there is a connection there, but it's not at all what we think it is. So the plot level story is that external sequence of events. It's what happened. The character level story is what happened to me and how do I feel about it? You have a lot of creative control over the character level story. And by the way, happiness as a feeling is a part of the character level story. Happiness doesn't exist in the outside world. And then we have the theme level story. The theme level story is not at all personal. It's transpersonal, it's archetypal, it is universal, it is spiritual, it is symbolic. The title of the theme level story is the Da Vinci Code because everything is a symbol. The theme level story is where we connect to universal truth, where we connect to meaning and purpose. It is amazing. We love spending time in the theme level story, but you can't live there because you live in the character level story. You also can't directly take a theme level story, a theme level idea, you can't take that and apply it directly to the plot level story. It doesn't work that way. It's to you, everything has to go through the character level story. So this is where we get into trouble. So astrology is entirely symbolic. Astrology operates entirely at the theme level story. It is all made up. Everything is all made up, but everything is made up about astrology. And a lot of the frustration that people experience with it is trying to take these abstract, symbolic, powerful theme level ideas about astrology and apply them directly to the plot level story. And it just doesn't work. And that's not a fault. That's not the fault of astrology. That's just realizing, oh, you can't make that connection. We do this, this is in some of the spiritual training that I went through. I spent a lot of time in Science of Mind communities, and one of the things there that people always criticize for was spiritual bypass. And it's like, well, you're trying to take the spiritual principle, and you're just not getting it. You're going, oh, la la la, I'm sure, let go, let God, whatever those, and that always was kind of an annoying observation, because it's like, okay, well, you're doing a spiritual bypass. Okay, well, how do I stop? I don't know, but it's a spiritual bypass. And realizing, oh, spiritual bypass is just, all that means is that you are trying to take a theme level concept and you're bypassing the character level story and you're trying to apply it directly to the plot level story. And you can't do that. But without the framework, without the human game story matrix, you're realizing, oh, that's what's going on. I need to step this down so that I can figure out where it lives in me. And then I take that and go, okay, given that this is where this lives in me, how can I then apply that to this current situation? It's not going to bypass the uncomfortable feelings, but it may help me to feel those feelings and do something about it. And it's just, this is the missing, the framework, just the three-level framework, realizing what level of story. You can't jump between theme and plot. How do you these is so useful. It just helps. It's like, oh, now I understand where so much of my frustration has come from with things that are, woo-woo spiritual, but just they're not practical. I can't connect to it. And that goes for even things, even the consciousness, the David Hawkins and the map of consciousness and all these things that I know are true. They're just the absolute level of truth is profound, and yet they're not real to me, because they're aspirational, they're not operational. I know objectively the truth that there is no such thing as infinity plus one, so there can't be any separation. So everything that I experience is real, can't actually be true. But I can't do anything with that because I'm living in a reality where I'm separate. And that's okay. But how do you balance out the spiritual truth with your lived reality and integrate that? And recognizing, well, it's all story, and you're dealing with a theme level truth that you must then, engage with from your character level story. You must recognize that part of the character arc, act one of the theme level story, is you start out believing a lie. Something about your reality that you believe, something that's absolutely real is a lie. And that lie is causing you pain. That lie is limiting you. And so in act one of the theme level story, you're discovering what the lie is. And then act two of the theme level story, you start to figure out, okay, what's the truth? What is the truth that I need to find that will counteract that lie? And then act three of the theme level story is the test. It's not enough to just know what the truth is. You've got to be able to actually take that truth and use it to address some particular aspect of the lie. Now, this is a great big thing. We're doing this in layers, we're doing this in levels. The stories are fractal, but just recognizing, okay, it's all right that I'm in act one of the theme levels, or it's all right that I'm dealing with any number of lies in my reality. Okay, I can work with these. I don't, and figure out where they're limiting me. And if they're not particularly limiting me right now, it's not a problem. That's a, eventually I will get to the point where it's like, okay, yeah, I got to adjust my strategy. I'm realizing that I'm coming up against some limitations of some lie somewhere, and it's just so uncomfortable. I'm ready to actually deal with it. But we go through this, and it's a cycle. But understanding, just having a story of what that story is, going, oh, this is the theme level stuff. It's symbolic. It's not plot level. It's not showing up necessarily day to day, but every once in a while, like, okay, yeah, no, that's been building up. That needs to be dealt with. I need to drop down a little bit and incorporate a little bit of spiritual truth and figure out how I'm going to do that. And it just understanding where you are, understanding where you are in the story, understanding what may be going on is so much nicer than not. It's the level of ease that this has created for me personally, just being able to orient myself in my story and in my life and go, okay, no, here's where I am. Here's what's going on. Here are my options. I can deal with this at the plot level, or I can deal with this at the character level, or I could drop down and deal with it at the theme level. And I know where I am. I can orient myself in this, and I can explore these different options and play with them. And it's just, I've been playing the human game pretty much nonstop for the last 3 years, and I have never had more fun in my life.
That's awesome. That is awesome because, like, when we shift that, like, former researcher, I love diving into my subconscious. My subconscious doesn't always love me to diving in. Often it doesn't, but I've gotten to the point with the somatic work I'm doing that I call it's on the Chinese clock, it's liver time, it's 1 to 3 in the morning. That's when my subconscious decides it's ready for me to feel whatever I need to feel. And so I usually don't set alarms because I'm usually up 2 or 3 hours between 1 and 4. But what's really cool is that it's gotten to the point where I just feel the feelings. I don't even hear the story anymore. And it's like, this is so cool that I've done enough healing. So many years.
And sometimes, and really sometimes, it's just about feeling the feelings so that they can move through you and be done, because we just need to process some of this stuff. And sometimes if you dive in, so the subconscious is coming up from theme level. So it's symbolic, and there's information there that may or may not be immediately relevant. You get to choose. You look at this and, okay, great. This is interesting. This is thematic. This doesn't necessarily mean what it appears to mean, but if I can take a little piece of this and apply it to how do I feel? How is this helping me to navigate my feelings? And then go, oh, there's a bit of that in this external story. It makes your story richer. It makes things more meaningful. It's optional. You can't live down in the subconscious, but it's just having the option having the skill set to be able to explore that when it shows up. It adds depth and richness and meaning to the story.
And the approach that you have feels much lighter.
I never knew spiritual development could be fun. I never realized that was an option. I thought it because, and there's nothing wrong with doing the great, doing the big, deep process the pain, process the feel. I mean, it's when I went through practitioner training in the science of mind, we would joke about Pract One. You show up to class, you unzip your chest, you take your heart out, you put it on the table, you pound on it, put it back in the chest, zip it up, and go home. I mean, it's deep, and and for many years, that was kind of my spiritual. It's, oh, this is a struggle, and I've got all these deep, intense feelings, and so much that I need to process through, and these heavy stories, and that felt meaningful, and that was great, and that worked for me. And now that I realize there's this other option where I'm spending most of my time laughing and being playful and creative, and I don't have to take anything quite that seriously. Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna choose that option. I like that. That wasn't available before, it's available now. I like that one.
That because like I've had some pretty dark pieces of awareness come in, and I'm grateful for them because I know when I sit with them, I release them, and it's great, and I'm so happy about that. And it's a thing. It's a thing to like just oh, I always say I get to because it's always a choice. I get to deal with this ancient thing of fear of waking up, like that's the thing that I get to deal with because it's in my consciousness now. And so whenever it pops in, I'm like, okay, let's get to work. But to have a lighthearted shift in the awareness of, I mean, yes, I get to do this, which is amazing, but this is just a shift in the character pulling from a theme
Yes.
that is just ready to be seen. And I get to release it as it wants to be released, and it's not like I have to do this.
It doesn't have to be. You don't get bonus points for how challenging something is. It doesn't
It's not extracurricular.
have to be deep, profound, draining, traumatic, heavy lifting for it to qualify as spiritual progress.
Right.
There's
And that's
nothing
huge.
wrong with that. There are times when things are going to be challenging, but even when they're challenging, don't know. I'm the way that I'm able to engage with things now. Even difficult, challenging things, even uncomfortable stuff that has come up that I've discovered, I've been more in the audience for it. I'm in what I call the writer's room, so it's like I'm not having to experience it exclusively from deep in the center of whatever it is. I'm able to also go, oh, well, that's interesting. It's like, oh, silly me thinking that I'd addressed all of that shame. No, nope, there's still a little shame here I get to deal with. Okay, wasn't expecting that, but now I can look at this now and know this doesn't feel good at all, but I'm not caught up in it the way that I used to be.
You're right.
emphasizing nothing wrong with how I did it in.
Right.
And now I have these other options that I'm so much preferring. These are such better options. I'm thrilled to have them.
No, I get that. I hear that because like it can be a journey. That's like I've had a couple in the past 3 or 4 months where it's been like thematic lenses through which I've seen the world, and it's come up in dreams, and I'm like, okay, I'm grateful to see this. And actually, the one that was a big mosaic of like I saw a whole section of my life that just unfolded over the course of 3 days, and I was like, wow, okay, well, we're just not going to be that way anymore. And that one just left. I was like, that's so cool.
You have the option of doing that when you can look at it, when you can look at the story and go, okay, I've learned that lesson. I'm realizing what that strategy was that I've been applying. Here's the thematic strategy, and doesn't work anymore. I'm done with that strategy, and because I'm making the adjustment in that strategy, I no longer need anything associated with that. All that stuff can be filed away. I can close out all of those accounts. Can do the P&L statement for all those things, exit through the gift shop, collect everything that I need from that, and I can start fresh because I'm not carrying any of that forward because I'm not using that strategy anymore. I've made some fundamental awareness, a theme level adjustment, little nugget of truth. Oh no, I'm going to make this teeny little adjustment here. And now, oh, I don't have to revisit or redo or relive anything associated with that strategy because I've completed that. That chapter is done. And that's so empowering when you can do that.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's like when we choose to sort of like today I was laying in bed and like talking about this crazy ass subconscious thing. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I've got a whole non-physical team. I rarely call on them. I'm aware of them. I use them in session all the time and I know it works. So I'm like, well, why don't I turn that on me? So I call in Archangel Michael. I'm like, hey, could you just like, there's something in my in body talk called a mind crystal, where it's a thought that you've had for many lifetimes and it crystallizes in your some level of something. And I'm like, Archangel Michael, could you just like dissolve that for me? And I get this yes in my heart. I'm like, I didn't need, okay. Like, I just made that way. Like, up until this morning, it was like, I just made it too hard on myself.
You needed it. And then when the new option became available, you made because you're always making the best available choice. And so you couldn't have done it until this morning, but the first available opportunity you had me, oh, wait, I can do this. Then boom, yeah, you're done with it.
Like, I don't just have
Trust
to
me,
do.
if you still needed it, he would have said no.
I know. He's like, no, you got the awareness. Now take a nap, like, because you're gonna have a podcast later today. You want to actually be awake for it. So, yeah, it's really
Easier
amazing.
than,
Like,
and the thing is, these are all stories. Everything is story. And that is so empowering. Because literally everything is story. I mean, I spent a number of years studying energy healing and energy tools and stuff, and realizing, oh, I can make up my own. They're just stories. All I need is a good story. I can visual if I want to address something on the end, I can just visualize whatever it is, and it's like, oh, I want to adjust this thing about my physical body. Okay, well, here's a lever, and I'm just gonna, and I can because I know I can do that because it's all story. And not everyone can handle the blank page. And that's a big part of what I what I've done with building things out with the human game, there's a certain amount of let me take you by the hand so you can sort of so I can help you to understand a framework of story, so you can understand how story works, so you can make these connections in yourself, so you can go, oh, here's how these stories live in me. Because my, you know, I just have a set of stories, and they're not the only stories that you can use, but it's like these are the stories that help you to realize, oh, I can tell anything. I can use this framework and I can go off and do whatever I'd like to do. And one, you know, I love astrology works so brilliantly with the human game because it's this, I mean, your birth chart is basically this, you know, multi-dimensional map. It's a personalized, bespoke toolkit of story tropes, so you're never going to be faced with a blank page. You can, because a little astrology goes a long way, but you can always go, I don't quite understand what's going on. Oh, I'm gonna pull this astrology symbol and go, oh, here's what's going on thematically. So now I have a theme, and now it's like, oh, I'm seeing all of these things in terms of this theme. Now I've chosen this theme. Oh, here are the strategies that I can apply. Because if this is about X, if I'm facing this challenge and I'm approaching it with a cardinal approach, well, I'm thinking that it's an archery target and I have to hit it with a single arrow. Well, I'm, you know, gonna can only shoot the target, but I can move the target closer. Because maybe that target's a little bit too far for me to hit all at once. And now I have attached this story to that and I go, oh, here's what this is. Here's how I can see how to address this now. And the ability to do this with anything. I mean, I haven't gotten this far. This is several years out, but part of what I love about the idea of the human game is that this is finally a way of working with predictive astrology because it's a way of going, what are any plans for the next couple of months? What can I create? So I'm looking, oh, here are these limited time opportunities of various things going on astrologically over the next couple of months, and I can attach my stories to those. I can take advantage of these opportunities and go, oh, here's the cycle of this. I'm going to take advantage of this particular transit, which is going to activate, you know, money goals in my chart. Okay, great. I can use that. And you build a story on the fly, but you're using this theme level structure of, oh, here's an opportunity to take advantage of this transit or this whatever. Instead of looking at your, oh, well, next week you're going to have it. No, next, it's all story. You get to choose how you're going to work with these prophecies, and it can just make it more fun. It can give you guide, just the possibilities of this. And that's what astrology had always promised to me. I said for that chunk of it, I'm still a couple of years out. There's a lot more I need to fill in and develop, established before I can get to the point of showing anybody how to do in a reasonable way how to do the on the fly predictive stuff. But that's just one of the possibilities with this. And you can do it on your own. You don't need astrology, but astrology gives as such a it's such a great story. And it's personal to you, so you can rely on it. The prophecies in your birth chart are really they're really sticky. So you can do things with it. But you know, you can do it with anything because it's all story. But it's just, hey, here's how you build something from the theme level here's how you can look at this and use this and find meaning or guidance or find a way around an obstacle. So you mentioned at the beginning, and let's, you know, let's make sure we get this in, the difference between obstacles and problems. Because this is a big part of you know, the basis of the human game is, you know, I talk about solving the happiness problem. And really, happiness kind of is the problem, because when you're happy, you don't have any problems. So in the human game, there are very specific terms. An obstacle is anything that interferes with your ability to achieve an external goal. An obstacle is part of the plot level story. In fact, it's act two of the plot level story. A problem is anything that interferes with your happiness. So happiness is part of the character level story. So just because something is an obstacle that interferes with an external goal doesn't mean it has to be a problem. It's only a problem if not getting what you want is going to interfere with being happy.
Makes sense.
And so when you learn how to separate out the plot level story from the character level story, that's where you can exert a little bit of creative control, so that you meet your needs, you manage your happiness on your own, outside of whatever's happening in the plot level story. So if you achieve the goal in the plot level story, great. You get a little bit more happiness. You feel good. You get a win. But if you don't, it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't affect your happiness. And that separation is, it's reasonably easy. It's a pretty straightforward thing to be able to do, and it makes such a difference, because, you know, it's like, yeah, you move things out of the plot level story. So it's like, oh, well, that's just a goal that doesn't really, you know, it's fun to get what I want, but getting what I want isn't gonna make me happy. Not make me happy,
right?
There's no reason, you know, and this is the other thing that I found having, you know, looking at this spiritually, we hear, well, getting what you want isn't going to make you happy. And that's true. But then we take that to think, oh, well, I need to give up the things that I want because it's not spiritual. I won't have the deep fulfillment if I pursue the things. Ah, getting what you want doesn't make you happy, but it doesn't prevent you from being happy either. Getting what you want is fun. And there's a part of you that is always going to want everything you've ever wanted. And the way, for decades, I was teaching from the theme level. I was teaching the spiritual principles and even a little bit from the character level, and realizing, no, you can't start there. Nobody cares about that. That's not practical. Let's start at the plot level. Let me help you get everything you ever wanted. There's no reason you can't have everything you ever wanted. So I'm going to help you get everything you ever wanted, and I'm going to help you to be happy with it. They're not the same thing.
Right.
But there's no reason we can't do both. And initially, and it's like, you don't care. You know, all of this is, you know, all of this process is based on spiritual truth. Everything that I teach in the human game, all of these strategies are absolutely, I can back it up with spiritual truth. I can back it up with consciousness, and you don't actually care. because all you really care about is getting what you want. It's like, okay, great. I'm going to give you a strategy that's going to give you the most efficient way of getting what you want. Coincidentally, it's also a strategy that is spiritual. It aligns with these spiritual truths. And that's really the whole point of these spiritual principles is not, that they actually work. They have practical, they actually work. But if we just think, oh, I need to do this, if it's a spiritual thing I'm reaching for, we don't see the personal connection. So it's like, no, this is, you're gonna be completely selfish. You're gonna make only decisions that are going to give you the best possible outcome. And it just so happens that that means looking for ways that everybody wins. It just so happens that means choosing to be cooperative as opposed to competitive whenever possible. It just so happens that those are the strategies, but you're choosing those strategies because you're selfish. You're choosing those strategies because they are going to work out the best for you. Other people may think you're doing it because you're a good person, and that's whatever. It's fine. It's nice that other people think, oh, you're just being a good person. It's like, no. I'm being a selfish bastard. This is just the best way for me to get what I want. And the best way for me to get what I want is to help you to get what you want. And that's the only reason that I care, because I really only care about getting what I want. And so this is the best way to do it. And that still feels a little bit radical, and that still feels a little bit transgressive, but it works. And I would rather deal with the little part of me that's wondering, am I doing the right thing for the wrong reasons? Because what matters is I'm doing, I'm doing the right thing, and I'm getting better results. And that's where we start. That's the thing that engages. It's like, let's get every part of you on board with the strategy, even though some of you thinks you're going after this because it's all about getting what you want. And some of you thinks, oh, but this is about being spiritual. It's like, okay, whatever. We're both, we think we're going different places. We were doing it for different reasons, but every part of you is on board with, nope, this is absolutely the path we're taking. And that feels a lot better than the way that I've spent most of my life, with the back and forth. So that's one of the radical stories of the human game is, let's just, there's no reason you can't, there is no, don't get sucked into the trap of, well, the physical world isn't spiritual. I'm sorry, what's the difference? If the spiritual truth is that all that is all that is, then isn't this physical world just as spiritual as the non-physical? Because how is it any different? You're here, you're having a human experience. The point isn't to get out. The point is sort of to maximize, to integrate, to have, the best time you can possibly have. And it's not, experience love while being in this physical world. That's really the objective. And it's just it's taken me all of this time to figure out how to tell these stories in a way that people can actually follow them, where it's like, no, we're gonna take this operational, not aspirational. We will eventually get you to the theme level. You want to know the underlying spiritual truths, absolutely, because they're really fascinating. But you don't need to start with them.
Right.
Really practical until you get going with this. And then once you get going with it, and then you start really understanding where those spiritual levels are, oh my, what you can create. But Yeah.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your journey and all that you've done. It's really fascinating. And I'm just going to ask you one final question, and that is, how can people find you?
People can find me by visiting playthehumangame.com.
Awesome.
If you go there, playthe humangame.com, you will find a little free intro video about the happiness problem. You can sign up for the free human game introduction class, which is a sporadic series of videos. It's about 12 videos right now, and I'm gradually creating more, but that gives you more information about the human game. And then you can also learn about the human game experience, which is the astrology-based reality role-playing game that can give you creative control over the story of your life. And that's an 8-week online program. It's got video classes and a player's handbook, and it takes you through this process with the Quest for Happiness, where you can actually experience this. Where basically you can have what I'm having. This is how I put this together, and it's, it's, knowing about it and hearing about it is fine, and there's a certain amount that you can play with just from the free things. But if you'd really like to sink your teeth into it and experience it for yourself, that's what the human game experience does.
Thank you so much.
My
I am
pleasure.
so grateful for you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Preservation of our soul shine. I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go and let it flow.